I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. Our next guest played everyone's favorite paleontologist, Ross Geller, on Friends for, well, a decade. He also co-starred in HBO's war series Band of Brothers and in movies including The Pallbearer and Madagascar. At least his voice was in that last one. He's appeared on stage in New York and London and co-founded Chicago's Looking Glass Theater Company. And for years, he's been directing plays and TV shows, including episodes of Friends and Joey. And now he's making his debut as a feature film director with Run, Fat Boy, Run, starring Simon Pegg. David Schwimmer, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Have you ever had an intro that didn't have the first line refer to Friends?
No.
Does that bother you? Because we can redo it.
No, it doesn't really bother me. I get it. It is the one job and one role that I'm best known for, so it makes sense. So.
Well, I think you'll be known as a director now.
From your lips to God's ears. As my mom says.
It's a romantic comedy about a guy trying to win back the mother of his child, this woman he left at the altar. Let's listen to a scene. Dennis, the fat boy of the title, has failed to get his son Jake into a Lord of the Rings show. In this scene, Dennis is having a little locker room chat with his romantic rival, played by Hank Azaria, who is very naked.
Jake said you had some tickets to the Hobbit musical.
Yeah, a friend of mine's an investor in the show. He totally hooked me up. Can you believe that?
I was just thinking, you don't really want to sit through a whole sort of 3-hour kind of show, do you? So,
well, the thing is, Jake's really kind of got his heart set on this, you know?
Yeah.
Powder?
I'm fine.
Sure? Refreshing.
I would imagine it is.
Well, the thing is, I hope to be more and more a part of Jake's life, you know. And frankly, I'm kind of looking forward to this show. Give Jake and I a chance to get to know each other better. I mean, you can see my point, can't you?
Yes, I can.
I think that's actually a great example of why certain things don't translate to radio. Because
we should say that slapping noise with talcum powder.
I mean, the whole sight gag. I mean, that scene is all a sight gag. It's basically Hank whips off a towel at the beginning of the scene, exposing himself at eye level, his genitals at eye level to Simon, who's sitting on a locker room bench. And Simon can't kind of get away from Hank Jr., as it were, during that whole scene.
And then Hank puts his legs up and leans into it.
And the talcum powdering his, his...
Junior.
Plums, as it were. And maybe we should play it again now with that.
Not everybody knows.
It's funny because it made me think, actually, when I was listening to it, sitting here with you, I've done several radio plays. And we've taken...
Naked?
No, not naked, okay. But we've taken a couple of plays from our company in Chicago and then tried to translate them to the radio. And you realize after doing that just how much you're dependent on sound and soundscape. But so that's...
Yeah, my physical comedy prowess is lost in this job, sadly.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about physical comedy, the scene, and I can describe it in the movie that freaked me out, is this gigantic blister scene. So Dennis, who's running, gets a big blister on his foot, and it needs to be popped.
He recruits his best mate to help him pop it, and they don't have a pin or a needle or anything, so he's got a rusty old nail that they use. That his friend promises has been sterilized, and it's left up to our imagination exactly how he sterilizes his nail. And then, he just jams it in his foot.
I was alone and I screamed when that happened. And so this movie was very popular in England. What did audiences do in the theater? Were you ever in a theater when
that scene happened?
Did they scream?
That's one of the best moments, I think. As a director, the first time you screen it for an audience to see, where the reactions are going to play. And that was one of the most delightful moments when the entire theater just literally, as one, jumps out of their seats and screams.
Even now, I'm so disgusted by thinking of it.
And it not being a horror film, it was a pretty great reaction.
Now, the original screenplay was set in America and was written by friend of Fair Game, Michael Ian Black. He guest hosts a lot. So how did the whole thing get moved to London? I mean, it makes a big difference because most of the movie takes place outdoors.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. The movie, I was attached to it when it was set here in New York, actually, around the New York Marathon. And then after a year and a half of waiting and trying to get it made with this company who had several films they were getting made at the same time, I got word that the company had somehow brokered a deal or something, and the script was sold off to a London company. And their mission was to make films only in London. It's a new company called Material. And so suddenly I found myself, directing a British comedy.
How would you characterize the difference between British and American comedy?
You know, Simon and I spoke about that a lot, actually. And I think we both agree that both our countries find the same things funny. Like, comedy is pretty universal. If you have great characters and great funny situations, we all find the same things funny. But I think we also agreed that there is a small cultural difference in that the British are less comfortable with an expression of emotion. So anytime and you'll see this in the film, anytime a character like Simon's character starts to become too vulnerable in a scene or too touchy-feely, any moment like that is immediately undercut with a self-deprecating or cynical joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is a British sensibility in terms of their humor. They're not as comfortable as we are with just putting it all out there emotionally.
As a director, did you adopt what you appreciated from people who've directed you in the past?
Absolutely. I think, like, I've always kind of thought of myself as a student, and I still do. So that when I was, when I first got, cast in movies or television, anytime I wasn't acting, I was watching. I was studying directors, and I was also, or I'd go over to where the sound guy was recording, and I'd just ask him about what he was doing and how he did it. And little by little, I became acquainted with every aspect of production. I just found it genuinely fascinating, and I loved it. So I was learning on the job, and then I was started, as you said, directing theater. So the whole idea of collaborating with designers and the writer and the actor and wasn't very foreign to me by the time I got this opportunity. So
who was a director who told you something you'll never forget?
Well, there was something. One of the things, Jim Burrows, who terrific television director, he did pretty much all of Taxi and Cheers and many of our first few years of Friends. He reinforced something I kind of knew intuitively, but he actually named it, which was this idea of, first of all, just finding the truth of the scene, and that the comedy, if it's good writing, the emotional truth of the scene will help it be funnier, or will reveal it to be funny. And I think what he was talking about was, I think great comedy comes from pain, and whether it's just physical pain, watching, Charlie Chaplin, or watching Simon in the movie fall down the stairs or knock a woman off her,
blister
exercise
pop.
Ball or whatever. Yeah. Or emotional pain, such as, a guy walking up to a girl to ask her out for the first time, and before he gets to her, she says your fly's open. I mean, that humiliation in that moment, that mortification is painful. And I think we all identify with it, and it's simultaneously identification and also relief that it's not us because we all know that moment, mm-hmm. or can't imagine that moment. And I think that's what Jim Burrows was talking about, just finding the emotional truth first.
When's the last time you had a painful, awkward, emotional moment?
Every day?
Nuh-uh.
You mean besides this interview?
Oh, I'm
no,
so sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
I want to ask you a personal question. How did you end up in a family full of attorneys without becoming one yourself? How'd you escape that fate?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. My grandfather, my parents, my sister, they're all lawyers, and growing up, just trying to negotiate for an increase in my allowance was really a nightmare. I couldn't imagine sitting still that long, really. I saw each of my parents, sat at a desk for so much of their day or in the law library writing briefs, and I just couldn't sit still that long, and I just knew I couldn't do it.
Do you know that actors and lawyers both have very high levels of testosterone? This is true.
I didn't know that, but
that's why your sister has has to shave her face. I'm sorry. That was mean to say about your sister. I'm sure she's lovely.
That is mean.
David, thanks for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
To learn more about David's projects, go to our website, morefairgame.org.